I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe this. I don't know that you've ever asked yourself this question before you read it on the screen. Why do I have extra? In other words, why have I been blessed with certain things? Because remember, I told you last week, we all get to eat and we all get to live inside. And after spending a day out in the sunshine yesterday, I'm really glad. I was really glad to come home and kick the air conditioner on, take a shower, and live inside. I was really glad yesterday. So I want you to consider this question, why do you have extra? Because we all have extra. Some of us have more extra than others have extra. And we may get into that. If the Lord lets me, we will. Luke chapter, and I didn't tell y'all the verses out of order either, guys, so y'all please forgive me. Put up Luke 12, 33 and 34 first. Remember, we sort of ended up somewhere around in here last week. And it's talking about where our treasure is, there our heart will be as well. I told you wrong, Deborah. Just go to 34. She said, are you sure you want 33 up there? And I said, yeah. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So understand what we're getting at here. You know, I shared this last week. It doesn't matter all that much how much you pray, how many little ministries you take on, and all these other things. If you really want to know where your heart is, take a look at your checkbook. Because that's where your stuff, your money, and your treasure, wherever that stuff is, that's where your heart already is. Now put up the other screen about our... I shared with you last week, Sheila wasn't here. She is today. So, did I say anything I shouldn't last week about her? Did I? Okay, she is here today. This is very simple. This is mine and Sheila's philosophy of money. It's what this is. And I'm going to tell you something. It works quite well. Okay? So as you read those, I'm not going to reread those, but as you look at those, just remember something. We kind of ended up there last week that we all have spending habits. You know, we have no problem spending money. I mean, generically speaking, okay? We don't have a problem spending money, so we all have spending habits. But there's also a need for a saving habit, okay? We give, we save, and we live off the rest. But there's also a great need for a giving, for this giving plan. If you have a spending habit, hallelujah, because you do. If you have a saving habit, great, I hope you do. You need a saving habit or a saving plan if you don't. I ought to just throw all these notes away and just let the Lord lead me here. You know, I was talking to Sheila this morning and I said, Sheila, because you got to remember I told you last week, there was a time in our life when we had $40 to make it every 2 weeks. That was gas money back and forth to work. That was every money, all the money we had was 40 bucks every 2 weeks because that's how often I got paid. And I asked Sheila this morning, I said, and she didn't want me saying much, but I said, Sheila, how much money do you think we have saved over the years? She said, well, people don't know exactly how. I know we're crazy. We're the oddballs of the world about this, okay? But you would be amazed at how much money that she and I have saved over the years. So let me stress this right here to you, especially those of you, the younger ones among you, okay? Because you're going to be old like me one day. And you don't want to end up without a pot to go to the bathroom in or a window to throw it out of. Okay? You don't want to end up that way. Then the way to do that is systematically saving. We're going to talk about all this because I told you this week we're talking math. And by the way, math was the only class I ever took of which I failed. So it shows you how smart I am. I failed math class. But recognize they're just real basic little things here, guys. To give, to save, and to live off the rest. So you need to save. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then the third part is living off the rest. Okay? What does that mean? It means get you a budget. Live by that budget. And guess what? When the money runs out before the fun does, we park our little fannies at home until payday. Okay? And I don't mean to preach down or talk down to you about this. I really don't. But that's the way to end up with something. We have a rule about at our house about credit cards. I've told you this before. Sheila's got every credit card there is. Well, not literally, but she's got several. There's a rule in my house, and the rule is this. Charge all you want to charge, sugar, but at the end of every month, they get paid off, and the balance is zero in every one of them. I couldn't sleep at night knowing I owed $12,000 to Visa, or $1,200 for that matter, but, and I'm digressing here, okay? So it's not, let's get back to giving. It's not that we don't give. Look around you. Look what this state is still going through. We do give. We give spontaneously. Go back to Katrina 6 years ago, and every time, it seems like we turn around, there's a tsunami, there's a tornado, there's something, and the American people give, and they give spontaneously. The need comes out, the need comes up. People, yes, let me write you a check. Here you go. It's not that we don't give. However, there's something else that we do as well. We give sparingly and we give sporadically too. And that's what I'm talking about. Remember, we talked about last week of finding a way around that problem to be able to give systematically and consistently. And the word I'm going to use is a percentage giving. And I'm talking about not just to God, but to everything. Giving of a percentage. It is the only way to get ahead or win. Now let me say again real quick here. I realize something, that I've been really blessed. I was blessed with parents, grandparents who tithed. And understand that's a $2 word for saying 10%. It's a percentage. That's all it is. So I've been blessed and brought up in families where it was just a given. It wasn't, what do you think we ought to or maybe we need to? It's just simply the fact of the matter, we do. So, and it was a systematic, consistent percentage giving. And so I understand that's totally foreign to you. And I said last week this, and then I'm going to move on. If 10%, and I understand, 10%, that's a lot of money. That's a big bite out of the old budget. If you can't make 10%, you pick the percent. I shared this with you last week. Pick a percentage. Pick 2%, 3%. Hey, get big and bold. Pick 4%. Just pick a percent. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll pick a percentage and stick with it, it's going to go up. Because you're going to see God's hand of blessing on you. It's the only way to get it. That's how you get it. You'll see God say, wow, if 4% is good, then let's go 6%. And again, I was reminded by someone last Sunday, remember something else too. The tithe, the 10% is just kind of like a requirement. That's just your giving. You got to get above and beyond that for gifts. Okay, and that's a whole other issue, but just remember that as well. So you pick the percent. That's okay. Just make sure of something. That the first check you write goes to God. Just remember, the first one goes to God. So what do? Again, we give, we save, and we live off the rest. Now, I have some money in my pocket. Big money, I might add. I have 10 $1 bills. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I hope there's 10 here, 8, 9, 10. $10. Now, so let's try something here. $10. I don't have enough fingers to fan them out right. I'm really handicapped. Y'all know that, don't you? About my handicap. Okay. You still can't see them all. $10. So, if you think this might conceivably work for you, then there's a way to do this. So what we do is this. If I lay these down, they'll blow off. We're going to take a dollar. Take a dollar. Now, that went too quick. Take a dollar, put it down. Leave it alone, take your hands off of it. Now, that's God's, okay? God got his and he got it first. Now, this just comes strictly from me. Not necessarily God, but I'm tell you what, I believe I'm right, and I believe it's a pretty good idea. Take another dollar, and don't get too upset, just one more dollar. Take one more dollar and hoard it. Y'all have watched the hoarding shows on TV? Have mercy how those people live. Anyway, so take a dollar and hoard it. Save it. Take this dollar, open up your savings account, do something with it to save it. Don't touch it. Take your hands off of it. Now, that's $2. I'm going to take a risk and put those down. Now, God's got his and he got it first, but we get ours too. Now, we take this dollar and save it. And let me tell you again, systematically and consistently, you will be amazed. I've got figures here. Listen to this. Say your combined total weekly household income is $650 a week. Why I picked that figure, I don't know, but I did. So it's $650 a week. So therefore, $65 goes to God. $65, you get to put in the savings account. Now you look at this on two different ends of the spectrum. At the end, that is that is $260 a month. As a matter of fact, if you figure times 52 weeks, it's more than that. But it's $260 a month. That is over $3,120 a year. So you can be very proud of yourself and think, I have given God $3,100 this year. Now, understand, this is the only one that I know of that has a promise attached to it, by the way. God said, test me and see, check me out and try, turn me on once in a while and just see what I won't give you back in return for this. So it's not a lost cause by any stretch. At the end of a year, you got $3,200, give or take, just laying around in a savings account. That is so foreign to young people today, it's not even funny, it seems to me. $3,200. 9 years later, it's $32,000 without even any interest. We give, we save, and we live off the rest. You see, doesn't that make sense? Now, let's go back to giving. Well, we won't yet. Now look here. You forgot all about this big money, didn't you? We just talked about those two little old dollar bills over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. $8. What do we get to, what do we do with this money? I got money here and I don't know what to do with it. What am I going to do with this money? Can I tell you something? This is how good God is. And remember, this is just my idea, the saving. Anyway, that's just my idea. It's kind of crazy, but what the heck, you know. Now, $8. God says, more or less, you can do whatever you want to. Now, but wait a minute. That's too good to be true. That can't be right, can it? No, it can't be right. Oh, yeah, it can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Gotta count slow. $8. Take your wife out, you know, splurge. And I listened to the radio the other day, and there was a lady, she said, with some commercial, and she said she wanted to go out to eat tonight somewhere other than where you have to sit in the car. So, splurge and go to the drive-thru and then sit at the picnic table. You know, splurge. Get out of the car. Take your wife out to eat somewhere. Because, see, we've given to God first already. And see, what we've done here, and again, like I said, this is me, But I've given to myself too. And I want to just share something with you. I guess if I had to give anybody the credit for this, it had to be my wife. Because this sure wasn't my idea in the very beginning. Because I'm thinking, man, I could do something with this. But I sure am glad that for the past, I can't even count how many years, that we've saved at least as much as we have given. So don't forget that part. Don't forget that part. Now, $8. You know what? If we all were paid in $1 bills, this would be a piece of cake, wouldn't it? So if you get paid on Friday or Monday, I want you to go to the bank. I'm kidding, but I want you to go to the bank, cash your check, and say, pay me in $1 bills. And get you a sack, because it'll take a sack. Get you a sack and go home and just throw money up in the air and just thank God for all the blessings he's given you. Just dump it out in the middle of the floor and say, wow, look at all this cash. Here's something that every survey, everything I've ever seen that's ever been a part of this across this country as to how people give, these facts never waver and they bear out to be true every single time. Within the United States of America, practically everybody would give God a dollar out of every 10. Just about everybody would do this. And did you know what? A whole lot of people, the majority of people in the United States would give God $10 out of every 100. And there's still many, many people who will give 100 out of 1,000. But that's where it stops. That is where the statistics no longer bear anything resembling scriptural giving. Once past that, it all changes. Do you know what is an absolute fact of life in this country? It's true in America. I don't know about anywhere else, but I know it's true here. The more we make, listen, the more we make, the less we give. Now, I don't have time to even go into this morning, but I'm going to put a bug in him. God's going to put a bug in here about this, and it is this. That is why some of us don't have any more than we do. Now, listen to me, and it's all I'm going to say about this. That is why some of us don't have any more than we do, because God knows he can't trust you with what he's already given you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But that's true. I believe that my whole heart. You've already shown God you can't be trusted with a little bit, so he's not going to give you a lot. So you take that for however many grains of salt you wish, but I believe that to be true. The more we make, the less we give. I got to hurry. The more we make, this is sad. The more we make, the greedier we become. Now listen, get this, stop. Everybody do something, get awake here just a minute, and remember this. Here's the truth about God. God does not think in terms of dollars. God thinks in terms of percentages. That's why God uses percentages in his efforts to help us to give. He's not interested in dollar bills. He's interested in percentages. That's what God's interested in. Remember Luke 21, Madison. We'll just throw that up there for everybody to look at. This is a story that, in my opinion, sort of just blew the disciples' minds. You know, back in the drug psychedelic days, y'all remember that? We just get your mind blown. Well, this blew their minds. Is that verse 1? Okay. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. In other words, here comes the Pharisees and all the people with money. Where's that $10? And they take that money And you know, I've witnessed people do this in church in different varying ways. Oh, well, let's see here now. Oh, shoot, God, just take it all. Look at me. Man, look what I'm doing. And that's what they were sitting there watching. All these people making a big show of throwing cash at God. Can I tell you something? God was not impressed. If I don't pick this up, Ryan can come over and get it. God was not impressed. Neither was his son. Look at here. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Is that all I gave you? It was, wasn't it? Okay. And then Jesus just blew them out sideways when he said, hey guys, y'all come here a minute. He kind of gathered his guys around him, you know, said, guys, y'all see what that widow woman did? That little old lady come just walking through the door. Did y'all see what she did? And they're saying, Jesus, what are you talking about? No, remember, guys, it's a little lady. She just walked by. You remember what she did? I'm not real sure, Jesus. What do you think? Jesus said, boys, let me tell you something. She gave more than all the big shot fat cats walking through here throwing dollar bills at God. And I can guarantee you just about they said, what? What? Now, wait a minute. I just saw them throwing big money in there. She gave two pennies. And she gave more. Remember what Jesus' response was? Yeah, she gave more because she gave all that she had. She gave all that she had. Go figure. Remember, the more we make, the harder it is to be a percentage giver. You see, when it gets beyond 100 out of 1,000, and gets to that. You know, let's go back to the 650 a week figure. Let's go back. Let's look at the negative side of that. You know, Miss Nita will give you your little record of giving at the end of the year, and you look down and you say, wow, look at here, honey. We gave $3,000 to the church last year. $3,100+. Why, we could have spent 3 nights at the beach for that. Why, we could have, well, let's get practical here, honey. We could have recarpeted the whole house of that, and Lord, you know how bad we need carpet. You see, the more we make, the harder it is to be a percentage giver. So that's not at all how we must not look at that. Now, stop thinking about that. Because when we do, here is the fallacy in all of this, and you need to get it, and so do I. Here is the fallacy in all of this. The fallacy is that we make this assumption that all of that money's mine and I can do with it what I want to. And that is a wrong and false assumption. It is not all for me, and it is not all for you. You see, what is at stake here? It's not the church. The church isn't at stake here. The church's mortgage, of which we are 21 plus days behind on as we speak, it's not about the mortgage. What is at stake here is you and me. Because if you go back, and we didn't even read the story again this morning, but when you go back to Luke chapter 12, and you read this story about the rich guy, and Jesus said, you fool, and you know that's a big bad word in my book. When Jesus called him a fool and said, this very night, it's all over for you. You understand something, that without consistent percentage giving, the Bible tells us here pretty plainly that there's a decent chance that you're going to end up with nothing. That's what this is all about. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you willing to get to the end of your life and allow God to call you a fool because you wrongly thought that all you had was just for you? And remember, we all have extra. We've known we had extra. But guess what, boys and girls? Now we all know why we have extra. Ouch. The reason that we have more than we need is for the sake of those who are in need. That's why. The reason we have been given extra is to use it as a blessing for those who don't. And we are called by God to put His kingdom first by being a percentage giver and by giving to God first. Let me ask you this. Don't you just hate these kind of sermons? Don't you just hate talking about all this? Can I tell you something? I never look forward to this. I want y'all to recognize that. I never look forward to this. You see, there's tension. You know, you just kind of draw up in your little shell, or it's real easy to. Start saying the preacher's butting into my business, and you know, on and on and on. You know why that is? If that's true for you, do you know why that is? Maybe you're just now discovering the exact place where God wants to work in your life. Ouch. Maybe you're just now discovering exactly where God knows you need to go to, that He wants to go to work in your life. And I understand something here, that maybe most folks weren't blessed with parents who taught them how to tithe. You know what? I understand that there's a world of folks out there. You know, that this is America, after all. This is the capital of capitalism, or at least so far. It's a place in this country where somebody can come in, like I have a friend whose mom put him on a plane when he was a teenager with a $20 bill to tacked or pinned to his britches. He owns more businesses, and I don't even know how many businesses that he owns today. He came here with nothing, and he's made it. He's very successful. Very successful. This is the only place on earth where that can happen, and it happens regularly. We are the capital of capitalism, okay? But so, and I understand even beyond that, some of us, can I tell you something? There were times when I was a child growing up when the power company would show up and they cut our power off. My daddy worked three jobs. My mother had rheumatoid arthritis and she was a diabetic. He worked three jobs and still couldn't make ends meet, but he tithed. There were times when we would come home and the power would be cut off. I'll never forget. Daddy came home from work, but it was after dark. So, you know, I'm the flashlight holder. So here, son, hold this flashlight. He was an electrician. He knew what he was doing. He went out there, popped them, and this is illegal as it gets. Took the meter off, took two big old pieces about number 6 gauge wire or 4 gauge wire, made a C out of it, skinned the insulation off both ends of it, shoved those things in there. We had power. Now, I'm not advocating that. But I know what it's like to be raised poor. So just so you know that, I know what it's like. And I know that there's things there that you say, you know, wasn't it Scarlett who said, with God's help, I'll never be poor again? In Gone with the Wind? I don't even know what, don't even matter. But, so I understand where you come from and things like that. I know what it's like to be bankrupt. I know what it's like. I've never done it. I misspoke there. But I know that's got to affect you. When you've had declared bankruptcy or whatever, and you know, you just, for whosever fault it was, you've been evicted from your house, or you've had a car repossessed, and all those things. And I know that's got to affect you. So when it comes to writing checks, of which nobody can make you, especially checks that have zeros on the end, it can be very hard to do. You may be sitting here this morning and you know you should. You know you can. But, you know, just for some reason, you haven't. And understand, I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about tithing. There is a vast difference. You know you should. You think you could, and you know you should. You see, right there in that moment, in that tense moment, in that moment, understand, God's got you right in his crosshairs. That's where he's got you. And do you know why? Do you know why there's that tension? Do you know why God's got you right in the middle of his crosshairs? Do you know why you feel the way you feel for some of you right now? Do you know why? It's because of this. Now listen, church. It's because God wants your heart, not your money. It's because God wants your heart. And I want for you more than I can express to you. For you to have, for God to have your heart. For God to be able to bless you and to reach down and touch you right where you need it the most. That's what I want for you. And that's what God wants for you. You see, it's time. Hey, listen. I might as well just lay it out on the table. I am not by nature a very generous person. I wish I were, and I'm trying really hard. I'm working on it, but I'm not. So let's just, you know, if y'all think I am, you're wrong. But I tell you what, it's been proven. I shared the stories about my tithing last week. But I can tell you that it's been proven to me for 20 plus years. Write the check to God first. Give him the tenth that he deserves, and he commands that we do. And I can promise you, we've had people testify to share with this, you will live better and you will live sweeter and happier and longer on the 90% that's left than you do if you keep the whole 100. My wife's favorite expression, I think I've actually gone a month without saying it to you. My wife's favorite expression is, that's what you get when you tithe. God wants your heart. And he has already plainly and completely told us that wherever our treasure is, wherever our stuff is, that's where our heart already is. It's not going to be there. It's already there. And he wants our heart. And that's what he wants. And he will, can I share something with you? He will settle for nothing less than our heart. Please, don't let your possessions possess you. It's a cruel taskmaster. Don't let your possessions possess you. Hey, here's a thought. If your possessions have been possessing you, whip out your checkbook right now and write the church, write God a check. Not forgive me, Lord. And write God a check with a whole bunch of zeros on the end of it. And say to the world, and say to yourself, and say to God, God, my money will no longer control me. Have you ever heard a preacher say something like that? I don't know. I've never said it. Tell you what I'm learning, present tense learning. being generous is an acquired taste. How many of y'all drank your first beer and thought, man, that's the most yummy stuff I've ever put in my mouth? Because the very first beer you drink tastes like soap suds, probably. Drinking beer is an acquired taste. Where did that come from anyway? Learning to be generous is an acquired taste as well. And it ends up being a whole lot smoother and a lot less trouble and everything else. So forgive me for even saying that. That was stupid of me to say. You have extra and you know it. You have extra and now you know why. And it just simply boils down now to what are we going to do with this truth? Last thing I'm going to say is this. And again, I do firmly believe that, because I believe I used to be one of them, okay? I do firmly believe that I used to be one of them, that the reason why I didn't have much at all was because God couldn't trust me with what I had. I'm just going to be honest with you about that. So I believe I used to be one of them. Last thing I want to say is this. And Josh, if you'll come on up and then start playing for us, okay? I'm sorry, Brian. Sorry. Hey, come here. Time out. This is for Frey. This is a good guy right here. Y'all want y'all to know that. So if you don't know him yet, you need to introduce yourself to him. Now, as we bring all this down to an end here, I don't know how to put this at all, but I feel God leading me to say something. For those who are here this morning, and you have a whole lot. Now, that you may be in the vast minority, I don't know. But if you're here this morning and you got a lot of extra, I don't know. But God has given it to you for